I need to call to order the May 23rd, 2012 meeting of the Sylvania City Council Employee and Community Relations Committee. Present are members Lukey, Brown, Capellini, Hussman, members of the staff, Eichenauer, Sanford, and Scott Smith. We're here today to review proposals for a managed care organization to administer workers' compensation claims for the city for the next 2 years. For the committee, what we're going to do is have two groups in today, one at 4 and one around 4:30. They can kind of let us know how we want to run this, if they want to just make a presentation and let us ask questions at the end, or do they want us to kind of ask questions as we go. But I'll let them introduce themselves to you, and after we're done, I think rather than having a group discussion about it, I'd like to ask us to have input go to George individually so that we can just feed some information to him. I think it's important to note that this is a decision that needs to be made in the next 48 hours because we have a deadline at the end of the month that we need to accommodate. So that's kind of the setup. Mark, you want to go ahead?
I'll tell you what, let me go through this.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, George. That's
right.
You have
a
little background.
Yeah.
We won't take this off your time.
They don't understand this at all, so we're trying to open up today. Actually, every 2 years, the state has an open enrollment period in May, and this year it's from April 30th to May 25th, which is Friday. To choose an MCO, among the other duties, to manage our medical portion of our claims and also to help with return to work activities for our workers. Several councilmen over the last year have had an interest in this, and so what we're doing this year is getting together with this group. I've narrowed down all the possible groups to two groups. There will be Health Management Solutions, Inc., and Comp Management Health Systems. And basically, today we're going to give each group about a 30-minute presentation on what they're all about and why we should go with their organization for the next 2 years. Again, we have to decide on this by the 25th. And it's my intention to bring this up tomorrow for discussion at our staff meeting and come to a conclusion there. Council members should feel free during any part of this to ask questions, and you guys are first up.
All right, thank you. First of all, let me introduce us to myself. I am Mark Moser. I'm the Vice President of Marketing for Paramount Care, Inc., and a member of ProMedica Health System. I'm here today with my Health Management Solutions hat on because HMS is the holding company of Paramount, and therefore ProMedica. The HMS is one of the product lines I have responsibility for day to day and year to year. And as Kathy pointed out, we get to market ourselves once for about 25 days every 2 years. So if we look a little tired, that's why. We've been running around the state marketing. It's the only time we can market. And we have to be careful because there's a lot of firewalls, rules, and regulations that the Bureau lays down regarding our ability to contact the folks who are not our MCO client base. TPAs, on the other hand, are kind of fast and loose because they don't have any rules. So we're constantly vigilant about those things. I have with me today, sitting up here, Todd Phillips. Todd is my executive director of HMS, and we'll also have him, Lori Poston, who's the account manager for HMS that's been here for the last 2 years. She's in transit, coming back from another client who had an injury that needed some on-site attendance. In any event, there's a lot of things involved in this that if you aren't involved in it day to day, you have a hard time figuring out what an MCO does, what a TPA or third party administrator does, how they work together, and their separate duties. And just to kind of lay the groundwork, I'd like to turn this over to Todd for a minute to walk through those little details and maybe give you a better foundation for what it is we're talking about. Todd, you want to walk through the first couple of slides?
Certainly, thank you. Hi, Todd Phillips. I am the Executive Director of Health Management Solutions, as Mark said. Those of you that have a packet there in front of you, if you want to flip to the second slide, I think that's probably a good place to get started. It comes out before you out of your mind with this. So this will be Workers' Compensation 101 in about 60 easy seconds here. As you know, Ohio is very unique as a state-funded or state-mandated workers' compensation system. Any employer in the state of Ohio has to purchase their workers' compensation from the state of Ohio unless they're self-insured. And self-insured is exactly that. They are the financial means to pay for claims themselves. For purposes of today's discussion, in lieu of time and all that, I won't draw a lot of distinction there other than say you're in the state fund as the city. You're going to be there until the Bureau passes some legislation that allows you to go self-insured, which actually may be coming down the road at some point in time. But the important thing to remember with state fund workers' compensation is there's two components to it. And this is a very confusing time period, as Mark indicated, because a lot of things get crossed over. There's the third-party administrator side of workers' compensation, and then there's the managed care organization side. Third-party administrators, as you look on slide number two there, that's an optional thing. You can have a third-party administrator if you want as an employer in the state. It's totally up to you. That is a fee-for-service thing. You contract with about 100 TPAs in the state of Ohio. The MCOs, on the other hand, there's only 17 of us, and you are required by law to have a managed care organization. You have no choice. If you do not select one will be selected for you by the BWC. Again, there's 17 of us, and as Mark mentioned, we get a 20-day period once every 2 years to market those services. Now, there is no direct cost for the MCOs. In other words, you will never see an invoice from us or any one of our competition, no matter who you select. We are paid a percentage of the premium that you've already paid to the state of Ohio. That is given back to us to manage this function. Essentially, we're doing nothing more than what the Bureau used to do prior to the MCOs coming into being in 1996-97. The Bureaus didn't do a very good job of it. They were very inefficient, so they farmed this particular portion of the program out to private companies. If you flip over to page three there, just gave a few highlights of the differences and the functions there. And again, whether you know workers' comp or not, I'll try to draw just a few distinctions here. The MCO is responsible for the medical portion of the claim. So if you have an injury here at the city, we're going to be the case management. We're going to pay the bills. We're going to pay the emergency room. We're going to make sure that that person gets proper care from a medical perspective. The TPAs, on the other hand, are responsible for the administrative side of the claim. If you want to protest that claim, don't think it happened at work, you have some issue with that, that would be what a TPA function would do. TPAs also try to get you involved in the best BWC program to minimize your cost as far as savings on premiums, that sort of thing. There's a number of programs that the Bureau offers. Again, that is a TPA function. So you've got to kind of draw the line between the administrative function of a workers' compensation claim, if you will, and the medical side. We are the medical side. Again, if you flip over then to the next slide there on page four, we have been around since the inception of workers' compensation MCOs. Legislation actually came around 93-94. It took them a couple of years to get it sorted out. We actually came into being in March of 1997. We are licensed statewide. We actually have customers in 84 of 88 counties. But as Mark mentioned, we are a wholly owned subsidiary of ProMedica. So we are locally owned and operated, and our offices are at Guamé. We do not own or operate a third-party administrator. I would like to draw that distinction for you also. There are a number of my competitors who have both an MCO and a TPA. We are proud to say that we are an independent. We've done that by choice. We believe that there's some value into us not having a sister company involved in the other side of the claim that gives us an independent voice in this area, where all we have to do is try to get the best possible care for your injured workers, get them back to work, without having to answer to a sister company who may or may not like a decision we make. Get over on page five there, just give you some indication of our size. We're the fifth largest of the 17 in terms of premium under management. Quite frankly, there are the big four in this business that control about almost 70% of the market. One of those you will be talking to in a few minutes. They would be the second largest in the state of Ohio. We are fifth. We think that gives us a nice size. We're plenty big enough, plenty of resources to manage about anything we need to, but yet we're small enough to remain very flexible in how we manage our claims and how we work with our individual employers. We have a 24-hour injury reporting hotline. That's 24/7, 365. We also offer a 24/7, 365 online claim access so that whoever would be authorized on behalf of the city to go look at those claims, obviously George's office somewhere, can go out and look at claims anytime they want. We also give access to the nurse case management notes, which is perhaps a little bit unique in the industry. I don't know that all my competitors do that. We'll customize reports. It really depends on how the employer wants to see that. Fortunately for you folks, you have very, very few claims. So to get into a whole bunch of reporting and everything is probably not necessary. George has certainly been around this game a long time, knows what he wants, and anything we would need to provide, George would simply have to ask, and we would provide that for him. We do provide some consultative type services. Again, we do not want to cross into that TPA zone. That is outside the scope of our authority and contract, but we are a resource. We are a local resource for these services, and if there's anything we can do to help the program, I guess, something unique, training-wise, anything like that, we are a resource for those. Flipping over to page six there, we operate on a team concept. There is one nurse that George has to talk to get all of his claim issues resolved. That team is solely responsible for the city of Sylvania. They have other customers, but you are not passed around from team to team, depending on the day or the week, or the last name of the injured worker or anything like that. It's one team. It is a nurse, a couple of what we call claims examiners who are non-clinical claims people. And then there's obviously a huge amount of support behind that in terms of first report of injury people, bill paying people, administrative staff such as myself and Lori. Still not here yet. Mark gets involved where we need to, and we have quite a good sized team for that. The nurse case manager has an array of resources at her disposal to help her with claims. As part of ProMedica, one of the very nice advantages we have is access to a huge array of medical providers. That if a nurse is not feeling comfortable making a decision on a treatment or something, that she can access. And that includes neuros and dentists and psychologists and all kinds of different people. Here's Lori. Our nurses are also trained in pharmacy reconciliation. One of the big cost drivers in workers' compensation is pharmacy. There's a lot of polypharmacy, we call it, or pharmacy shopping. A lot of things prescribed in claims, a lot of times that are they're not appropriate. We have certified registered pharmacists on our ProMedica staff that we run claims through on a monthly basis where they have the opportunity to go in and say, what is that guy getting that drug for? That has nothing to do with his injury. And again, this is all standard procedure. This is all things we do on a regular basis as part of our regular models. If you flip over to the next slide there, you might be familiar with this slide in terms of what's called the BWC report card. This is just simply our representation of that orange graph. I don't know if you've seen that. I brought a couple copies of that. Maybe I must have said it. It is the only measurement that the Bureau puts out that actually physically compares all of the MCOs one-to-one. They cite three statistics. One is called the DODM, degree of disability management. This is simply a broad measure of returning people to work in an efficient manner. And as you can see over on the right-hand side there, it's represented as percentages. The Bureau's benchmark is 110%. So there's two MCOs down at the bottom, neither one of which, of course, you folks are talking to, who did not meet that benchmark. Everybody else is above the benchmark in the industry. So what you have here is essentially a degree of high efficiency. And as you can see, the top four or five there are all separated by just a couple percentage points. Again, this is the broadest overall measurement. It's not the only one. There's about 14 different benchmarks that the Bureau has due to the limitations of our time. Without boring you totally to sleep here, I won't go into all of those benchmarks here. But we are proud to say that Health Management Solutions has been in the top five forever. We've been one, we've been two, we've never been number one. We've been two, we've been three, we've been four, we've been five, but we've been there consistently. Our competition will say that they have been number one. During the current open enrollment period, there are four MCOs claiming to be number one. So I don't know how that works exactly, but there are four out there that are claiming number one in DODM. We don't feel those are necessarily statistics that we want to get into. These are what the Bureau produces, and this is what we're going to go by. Again, if you flip over there, I touched a little bit on this. There are 12 other benchmarks. HMS prides itself on accuracy. I put out the last bullet point there, that if a claim gets allowed against your risk, back in the day, the Bureau would just take it off if it wasn't your claim. Nowadays, that claim stays on your risk until you can have it removed. We proudly lead the state in data accuracy. When we file a claim, we are right 98.68% of the time against the state average of 95. So that takes us an extra day, maybe, to get something done. We're okay with that. We think that's a quality measure, and we're not going to sacrifice that. We'll continue to do that. I'd be happy to entertain any questions. I brought some reports on the city's claims, which George, of course, is very familiar on. Lori would be happy to jump in on that. Let me introduce you here to Lori Poston here. She had a couple of client issues today she had to deal with a double amputation or something in one of our customers. So kind of an ugly claim that she was called out on. Lori's very familiar with the claim side of the business, and is also the regular person that meets with George to answer any questions. So I guess we got about 10 minutes left here, so I would open it up to questions. We'd be happy to address anything you'd like to hear. Oh, come on.
No, could you talk a little bit about the relative span of size of clients, number of employee base, what's the biggest, what's the smallest, kind of what's the sweet spot for you guys?
Okay, the biggest is real simple, and it's CareWorks. They have a 49% of the total state market.
Okay, no, I don't mean your competitors. I mean your client base.
I'm trying to get a sense of...
We're all over the board. We have Sippy's Pizza over in Akron with two employees. We have large staffing agencies with 11,000 employers.
Okay.
Or with 11,000... workers.
Where does the city of Sylvania fall in the range of?
You are on what's called our Big 500 list by virtue of the size of your premium and everything. The classic 80, well, it's actually more like a 95-5 rule, right, in our business. It's true. We have about 9,000 active risks that we represent. Less than 500 of them have a claim. And by virtue of the fact that you folks have a claim, you are in that, but size-wise, you're lower medium of the pack as far as premium dollars. Very low in terms of actual claims. You only have, five claims in 2011, two or three this year, then really not a lot of activity. So you're kind of down that list in terms of that.
Locally, we also have University of Toledo, Lucas County, City of Toledo. Large organizations.
So public sector kind of.
Yes, a lot of City of Oregon.
City of Oregon, virtually all of the school systems.
The exception of Toledo. The exception of Perrysburg.
It was the exception one we don't. But we also have a lot of private employers as well. But yes, we have a lot of public entities. Yeah. So we do well in that section.
Okay.
One of the main concerns an employer has with comp insurance is once a claim is filed, how quickly can we get that employee back into the workforce? And I guess, do you guys have any records or a rough idea of where you stand on the number of days or months or whatever that an average time that an employee, once he files the claim, is back in, you know, doing his job and off of comp?
Again, that's the graphical representation on page 7 there. That is a return to work score.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah, that essentially the broadest way that we're measured is in return to work.
Yeah.
Again, oh. So. Yeah, it's okay.
I was looking at the rating.
This is very confusing. You don't look at this every day. You're just not going to see Lori will comment on that also.
We actually have an endorsement by the Ohio Manufacturers Association. So we deal with a lot of employers that they can't take the injured worker back if they're on prescription medication. It's just not safe for them to bring them back. There's a lot of union involvement with a lot of the manufacturers. So even though we can get someone restricted light duty from the doctor, it doesn't necessarily mean the employer is able to take them back. And it's more or less because of the union contracts that state they have to be 100% full duty to be able to be in that building working. So we do face challenges with the type of employers that we are case managing. A lot of some of the staffing agencies we have, you know, they're staffing employers and they cannot bring people in there that are not 100%. That's why those companies are using staffing agencies, so they have employees that are 100%. So a lot of their mentality is once those injured workers are hurt, there is no job for them to return to. So therefore, it's the focus of the MCO to get them back to work at some type of employment somewhere in the state of Ohio. So we do have somewhat of a harder industry to get back to work. I mean, we do have a lot of clerical people, but you know, if you have a clerical person that tears a meniscus, you can have them working light duty up until the date of their surgery, and their doctor's likely to release them in 4 weeks right after surgery. You take the same person that has a very demanding job, their doctor does not want that tear to get worse. They will totally write them off of work. And then once they're have their surgery and they're released back, it's at a light duty capacity, which most of the time the employers won't take them because of fear of re-injury. So
yeah, no two claims are alike. It's return to work is everything. George will tell you that the city fortunately is willing to take people back. We have employers, as Lori said, who simply will not return people to work, so it's very difficult in some situations.
We do have a robust return to work program, light duty transitional programs, and as a general answer.
Do you have a preventative maintenance program that you would give George that he could work with the employees, you know?
We have access to a wide variety of training. We would make it available at no cost to the city in terms of walkthroughs. We have a relationship with the Northwest Ohio Safety Council. They do walkthroughs, various ergonomic trainings and that sort of thing. That is all available at your disposal. All George has to do is ask for it, and we will arrange that.
Forklift safety.
So yes, we have a variety of programs that we're looking at, as well as if you want to get into full-blown transitional work development program and all that, there are developers out there that we work with who put those kind of programs, very formal programs. I think you're doing fine where you're at with that. I don't know that that's really necessarily something you want to look into, but if you want to, those are the kinds of things we're here to address.
We actually haven't come through every 4 years.
Yeah. Good. Excellent.
Any other questions, Katie, Sandy? Would you have any questions?
Do you? Yes. I'm sorry.
I noticed that.
I see your ProMedica.
Yes, ma'am.
And ProMedica has just about every kind of doctor and. Yes. So you've got everything pretty well covered. But there are situations where patients maybe need to go out of town for a certain amount of care. How does that work?
Okay, leave insurance thinking behind you.
Okay.
There is no network.
Okay.
The only network that exists in Ohio for workers' compensation is that those that are certified by the DWC. So it can be a Mercy doc, it can be a Cleveland Clinic doc, it can, Michigan doc for that matter, if they're certified with the Bureau. It could be anywhere in the state, as long as that provider is certified by the DWC. We literally work with every provider in the state. There are no health system lines here. It does not exist.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I had a meeting with the City of Toledo this morning, and they asked me who the top five providers were that we paid. Four of them are Mercy, and the other one is an independent doctor's group. Wasn't even a single ProMedica facility in the top, and that represented almost 60% of their total cost. So it means nothing to us. They're great access. We have wonderful access to these folks if we need them. But as Mark said, this is the up to the claimant's choice. That's all they are seeking, treatment at a BWC certified provider.
We have a dozen associate medical directors, depending on the need, neurology, orthopedics, you know, chiro, what have you. We certainly have those on staff to do consult. It comes down to the absolute treatment. Whoever that injured worker wishes to.
Okay, so any organization, MCO has to send patients to BWC.
Yes, that rule applies to every MCO.
To everyone.
Generally, if an injured worker, say they want to go to see their own private doctor just to be evaluated, and they do relate it back to a workers' comp injury, we will either work with the provider to ask if they want to be BWC certified. If they choose not to be BWC certified, we will do a one-time payment to the provider to make sure the medical bill was covered for the initial date of service. But then the injured worker is required to go see Ohio BWC certified provider.
Yeah.
So if they are not able to locate one, or they need a specialist or anything like that, we do have an entire provider relations department. But geographically, we try to see, is it feasible for them, you know, where they're, where they live at or where they work at, you know, where do they want to be seen at, what type of services do they need. We will recommend three, so that way we're not just selecting one to get the injured worker, because it is ultimately their choice where they want to go for treatment. So we work with all providers all over the state.
So okay. I do have a question. It might be for George, though. The premium that we pay, is that in any way related to the provider that we choose?
No, it's on payroll. And then of course your claims, you get a percentage and you pay off that then.
Mm-hmm. You pay out what's called a modifier. It's based on your payroll, and then you can pay a little bit more if you have bad claims. You pay a little bit less if you have good claims.
And BWC determines all that. So what you do is you report your payroll and your job classification codes, mm-hmm. and the Bureau says, okay, a company with your size with these job classification codes is expected to lose X amount of dollars over a four-year window. So then you have claims that are in that four-year window. Currently it's 2007, 8, 9, and 10. And then what happens is 1 year rolls off, the next year rolls on. So you add up all the total claims costs, which would be all the medical payments, all prescriptions paid, any type of wages that were paid, which is indemnity payments. And then the Bureau also sets aside what are called reserves on the claim. So all those are factors, and they say, okay, you're allowed to lose X amount of dollars, and you lost this. So either you're eligible for group, or you would be penalty rated.
So I kind of feel like I'm learning the foreign language.
And if you remember, every July, every year we get into the group, we pass that one thing.
So why should we choose you rather than the people that are going to come in next? I mean, what's that?
I'll give everybody? You a couple of good reasons.
That sounds like a very good summary question.
That's a fair question.
As you look at the report card, let me just say a couple of things. A lot of MCOs will go back 2, 3, 4 years and pull as many quarters they can to average together to make themselves look better than the competition. Be very careful about that. That should be a red flag. As you look at this one, this is the fourth quarter of last year. It is what it is. We make no apologies for it. We're good at what we do. and you'll notice, if you look at the official report card from the Bureau, how close those lines are to the two folks outlined, and I did that on purpose. You can't stick a human hair between those two scores. So assume for a minute reasonably equal quality, if you take that as a quality measure. We think our service is as good or better than any. One very good reason, absent everything else, there's no cost difference, is that we are truly local. We are the only locally owned, operated, and based MCO in Northwest Ohio. Our revenues stay here, period. They don't go out of state. Ask your competitor, or my competitor, who they're owned by. And I think you'll find that not only is it out of state, it's perhaps further than that. So at the end of the day, all other things are absolutely equal. Maybe that's one good reason to stay with us.
Good answer.
Are you happy with us? Have we given you cause not to be happy or to say, geez, I know this is not working for us. I think those are two very good reasons. And if for no other reason, I'm about 5 miles down the road, so if you ever really, really need something, I'm right here.
The retribution factor.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you all for coming
You're
in.
Welcome.
And
thank you for the opportunity.
We will obviously have George get back to you quickly. Because
As George pointed out, the clock runs out at 5:30
on Friday.
Yep. We got it. So. Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do we need to wait around, George? Or?
Oh, no. That's fine.
All right, very good.
If you do have any questions, you have our cards, feel free to call any one of them.
Thanks, Mark.
We have these guys right now.
Yeah, the next ones. I mean, they'll be in a minute. Theoretically, they're out in the bullpen.
So right now, state law doesn't allow the city to be self-insured, do it?
Apparently not.
That's what they said.
You know, I don't know if we're big enough anyway, so we have to look at that. It was time. Were you self-insured in your company?
George, thank you.
Yes, you're allowed. Let me tell you about the time I had a workman's comp claim, and it was a male employee that claimed he hurt his, you know, the typical back at work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And went through all the procedure and started treatment and all this kind of stuff. This morning, I received a video on my desk.
What?
A video.
Of
this guy playing volleyball on
Sunday. Yeah, you hear about that, don't you?
Yeah.
Detectives to check it out?
It was the employees.
That's how it works a lot of times.
Yeah. They turned him in.
So did you fire him?
No, he was back to work the next day. Sadly to say, that's not just cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So much. A lot of stuff there.
He miraculously healed.
Overnight.
And he was going to report back to work the following week anyways.
George, do you want to do a little introduction here, or
do
you want to handle us?
I can do that.
Can I stop here, George, and I'll back up?
Pardon?
Where would you like us to be?
Right there.
Yes.
So these aren't the same. Well, we only need one to stand up. Find
those. Only when you're talking, and you need to stand.
Okay.
Isn't she the one that's sitting?
Sure. Okay.
Kelly Lowry.
No. Oh,
yeah.
Lori. Okay. Lori Holston.
Okay.
Holston. It's in the book.
Thanks. So, it's nice for you to read this, so I don't have to.
You can hear it. We have Kelly Lowry and Jim Cousins from Top Management here today to give their presentation. Every 2 years, the state does an open enrollment, and what we're doing here today, we had some people question, just what this is all about. So what we do today, we have two groups that we've narrowed it down to, your group and Health Management Solutions. And today, we're going to give each group about 30 minutes to give their presentation about what it's all about. Why should we go with their organization for the next 2 years? And of course, we hope tomorrow our staff in to make our selection. And of course, we've only got till Friday. So feel free, again, ask questions at any time. Last time, I think you held up till the end. Anytime during the presentation, if you have any. And go ahead.
Yeah, and Kelly, let me say, not that there's any, we expect any bad behavior for you guys, but this is on the record, it's a public meeting, so okay. Anything you say will be
used against me.
Used against you.
Probably tonight, you go home and hear it.
Is there? Okay. Well, thank you for giving us the opportunity to present to you today. 30 minutes, that's pretty quick. It's a good thing I took hearing so I can talk pretty fast. If I get too fast for you, let me know. As George indicated, my name is Kelly Lally. I'm the account executive with Comp Management Incorporated. I am not with Comp Management Health Systems. There's a difference between the two entities. Comp Management Incorporated is your third-party administrator for workers' comp. We represent you. You already have a contract with us. We are your advocate in the workers' comp system. And my job specifically is your account executive. My job is to make sure that we are doing the right thing for you and that in turn you are doing the right thing for the city, okay? So I'm making certain that you're in the right program and that you have the right cost savings measures. And this is one of the measures I think that you need to look at. Okay, you have a packet in front of you. It contains quite a few things, actually. And don't be scared, you won't go over all of them. But I do want to point out a couple of things. If you take a look at the presentation, I know you've already talked to HMS, as well, we call them Health Management Solutions, so I'm sure you know what a managed care organization does. I don't know if they talked to you at all about the Bureau's report card, but the Bureau is a state agency, and the Bureau ranks managed care organizations, or they grade them. They measure three things with the managed care organization. If you take a look at, I think it's the second page, it says, how is the MC of vital assets successful? And it talks about quick reporting, early intervention, and return to work. And as anybody who's been in the system for any length of time knows, return to work is a key cost driver in the premium. So the longer somebody's off, the more expensive the claim becomes in general. Now what the Bureau does is if you look in your packet on the right-hand side, you're going to see what's called the MCO report card. And what the Bureau measures are three things. First, employee timing, and that is how quickly the application goes from the date of entry to the date it gets to the Bureau. I'm not really sure how much impact the managed care organization has on that period of time, but nevertheless, it's one of the measurements the Bureau has. And as you can see, Comp Management Health Systems there, these are alphabetical, by the way, these are not ranked by performance. You'll see Comp Management Health Systems there. They are about 5.97, almost 6 days from the date of entry to the date that the application gets to the Bureau. HMS, Health Management Solutions, is about 6.5 days. The next measurement that the Bureau takes is called for a turnaround, and that's how quickly the first report of injury gets from the managed care organization to the Bureau. Certainly they have control over that. And if you look, Comp Management Health Systems is at 0.85, so less than a day. Your current managed care organization is about a day and a half, okay? And then third, and probably most important, at least in my opinion, is optimal return to work. And that is how quickly a managed care organization gets the injured worker back to work. Now, the Bureau puts a bar graph there. It makes it a little bit difficult to read. It looks like a whole lot of us are at the same place, but we're not. Comp Management Health Systems, if you would look to go to that line, what that line is 140.04. And what that means is if you get them back, at the time the Bureau thinks they should come back, you get 100%. The better you are at that, the higher above 100% you're gonna be, okay? So we're at 140, we're in second place by about a percentage, okay? HMS, they're at 138, fourth or fifth, I think, in the scheme of things. So you can see on all three Bureau measurements, Comp Management Health Systems outperforms your current managed care organization, okay? If you take a look back at the presentation, the valve presentation there, as I said, I'm not going to go over every page, but I do want to talk just a little bit about the fact that we are local, because I know that HMS is local as well. We have 14 colleagues in the Toledo office. They support 45 members of this community and other local communities, born and raised in Toledo, Ohio, and the local area. In fact, we have a couple from Slovenia that work in our Toledo office. We support the local communities, Habitat for Humanity, Boys and Girls Clubs, you know, various charities, various organizations that we work with as an entity in Toledo. Not our parent company, we're not a not-for-profit where we have to do things within the community. We do these things because we are part of the community. We have nurse case managers, case examiners in our office. The nurse case managers average 13 and a half years of workers' comp experience, so these are experienced people. The case examiners average 7-plus years of experience in the workers' comp system. It's important, I think, that you choose a local company, and I think it's important because the local people know the physicians, they know the facilities, they know the providers in this area. Now, when Comp Management Health Systems looks at and recommends providers and facilities to your injured workers, they do so on the basis of performance of that individual or that facility, on their outcomes, how quickly they get people back to work better. Getting them better and getting them back to work, that's key in controlling costs. There are no allegiances, there are no alliances, we're not owned by any healthcare facility, they are independent. Okay, and I think that's important for you to remember as we go through here. The next page just talks about the fact that we have an on-site, CHS has an on-site full-time medical director. I think Jim Cousins will touch on that in a minute. I understand that they'll let you know that your nurse case manager and case examiner, should you select Comp Management Health Systems, will be here at Toledo. They will be located in Toledo, Ohio. If you flip that page one more time, you'll look at the page that looks like this. The Managed Care Organization's report card, MCO report card, this is taken fourth quarter of December 2011. Okay, so this is fourth quarter 2011. This is over long term. This is over 14 quarters. Again, looking at optimal return to work, and you see CHS is number one. Your current managed care organization is fifth or sixth. Okay, so in the long term, again, CHS outperforms your current managed care organization. If you look at the next few pages, and again, as I indicated, I'm not going to go through every one of these, but you're going to just put one more page on the indulge me for a minute to go through this slide, if you take a look at it. What this tells you is, again, optimal return to work, but this shows you graphically where each MCO was at each quarter, not just the fourth quarter, but each quarter in between. And this is the Comp Management Health System, which is the blue line. It varies right about five points. No matter what the quarter is. The red line is your current managed care organization. You can see there are peaks and there are valleys in that. All right, the next few pages are going to talk about how Comp Management Health Systems compares to the average MCO of the state. And you're going to see that it'll tell you Comp Management Health Systems has lower loss time, average cost, than the average MCO by about $9,000. You're going to see lots of statistics in here that compare CHS to the average MCO, but that's not really your question. Your question is, how do we stack up against your current managed care organization? Now, you may or may not be aware of the fact that CHS was your managed care organization two open enrollment periods ago. And so I'm from the TPA side of the fence, so numbers drive me, okay? I'm looking at what your cost savings is and why it is and where it should be. And so what I did is I went back and I ran reports, okay? And these are two different reports. One is when Comp Management Health Systems was your managed care organization and how much they paid out for you during that period of time. And the other is how much HMS paid out for you during this current two-year period when they're your managed care organization. So I'd like you to just take a look at these if you would, please, and I'll talk just briefly. Can I walk away from there?
Sure, as long as he's not saying anything important.
That implies that everything I say up there is important.
Well, that's how we look at it. It is the government, you know?
And I did mark the reports on the front so that you can tell which one is CHS and which one is HMS. Thank you. Okay, if you take a look at these claims, or excuse me, these reports, basically, they both cover 2 years of time. And what I would encourage you to do is take a look at the last page. The last page is the page in between is basically the data that comes up with these totals. It lists every claim during that period of time and all the speed up for each claim individually. I would encourage you to take a look at the total costs. During the period of time that Top Management Health System was your managed care organization, 8 claims were filed and $7,143 was paid out. That's an average of $893 per claim filed. The next period of time, HMS, 6 claims were filed, and you can see the costs of those claims were $11,265 for an average of $1,878. Now, these are different periods, different severities of claims. I took a look at them to just see, you know, did we have a catastrophic claim? Is that why there was such an increase in the average cost? And I found something I thought was fairly interesting. If you take a look, I don't want to mention any names here, but you're going to see 2 claims on these reports. On the claim, or on the report for CHS, you're going to see a claim about halfway down. It's the first claim number that starts with 10. If you can see that claim. Anybody have it? Mm-hmm. That claim was a street sweeper, okay, who was being treated by Dr. Sabino. This person had a tear in their knee, okay, a medial meniscal tear in their right knee. And you can see that CHS paid out on this claim $890. Now, what I would ask you to do is then compare that to the very first claim that's listed on the other report. This individual was a street sweeper. This individual was treated by Dr. Savinar. This individual had a right knee sprain, and $2,623 was paid out in this claim. I would just ask you to take a look at those numbers. Again, from a cost savings perspective, I think those numbers speak for themselves.
While you're talking, you know, you're talking years difference.
2 years for each.
Okay.
Two years for each.
What about the adjustment for inflation? What was the cost increases that would...
I can tell you...
I know there's a big difference in the value, but I was curious on, you know, I have costs gone up 10%, 20%.
I can't tell you that. I can tell you that that's a 210% increase and they didn't go up 210%. Okay. But I don't know the average cost, I apologize. The rest, well, a good majority of this presentation then talks about other savings and average against the average MCO. I don't think you're interested in that. I think these numbers probably should hopefully give you a good picture here. I think I'm going to turn it over then to Mr. Cousins, who, if I didn't say this, if you chose CHS, would be your top executive. So he's kind of be my counterpart on the management education side.
Kevin Long, by Kelly Offman. Any questions so far? Just a little way I like to explain the DOD and optimal return to work score real quick. It seems like it's kind of, you guys are probably sick of hearing about it, but it's how, I think it's a measure of how well we as an MCO work with all the parts of the, anybody who's a party to any of the claims, that means you guys, obviously, the injured worker, the provider, third party administrator, and of the Bureau. So if one of those entities aren't working together with one or the other one, that score is probably not going to be as high. So. But a couple things that I think do set us apart is we really try to customize our service to what you guys need. We have an on-site full-time medical director, and you might think, everybody does, but all other MCOs do not have on-site full-time medical director. It's either a rotation of several doctors, or I did hear one MCO that the guy comes in maybe about 4 hours a quarter. What that means to you is not only a level of consistency, but there's things that Dr. Kessler can do, it's our full-time medical director, is he can help oversee some of these pilot projects that we do as a value-added service to you guys, to our employers. One of them is identifying comorbidities, things like diabetes, obesity, things like that, that if somebody gets hurt, are probably going to delay a return to work. We have a pilot project going on that we're going to, we're identifying, I forget how many, somewhere in the mid-teens, different comorbidities, contacting the providers up front, saying, hey, this is the situation with this injured worker, we're going to have to work around this, work together with this, so that we get this injured worker back to not only full duty, but, or back to transitional duty, but back to full duty. Another thing we're doing is a provider scorecard. We're looking at NCQA standards, which are basic quality of care, which takes into account injured worker input, are they satisfied, are they able to get to their appointments quickly, efficiently? Was the treatments that are being suggested to this injured worker, are they explained to them, and are they satisfied with the those explanations? It also looks at cost and return to work, something similar to what that DRDM score is, or optimal return to work. And we're coming up with internally a scorecard so we can recommend when one of your injured workers come to us, say, hey, where do I go? We're going to try and drive them to those providers that have the best possible outcomes, cost effective also. Another thing that sets us apart is our clinical editing. We're all managed care organizations are required to have some form of clinical editing program. Clinical editing program is bill payment, basically, in nicest term. But ours looks at things like modalities per visit. We're looking at a situation now, or it's kind of been rectified, but we're looking at a situation where a provider was requesting 5 modalities per visit. What that means to you guys is each time an additional modality is added to that treatment, the cost goes up. We're only going to pay for, if it's appropriate, obviously, a 1 to 3 modalities. Some of these providers are sending in requests for 5 modalities per visit. That's a difference of $200 or $300 per visit. So instead of paying $140 per visit, we're looking at some of these 4 or 5 modality visits, you know, upwards of around $500 per visit. I think you can see the cost savings there. We're comfortable saying that our clinical editing program gets on average about 12.5%. That's above and beyond 12.5% savings, additional savings above and beyond what the Bureau of Rescheduling even is. And part of that is that that modality situation. You have in your report a couple med savings reports. CHS has, last I heard, somewhere around 62 counties that we work with. We have over 110 cities that we work with, and large cities, meaning of 100,000 plus premium. Ohio Municipal League recommends it, endorses comp management health systems as their preferred managed care organization. Some other things. One other project we've done out, kind of thinking outside the box a little bit, is back in 2009 we started prescriptions. Everybody's hearing about prescriptions now and the cost impact of those. But we won a national award as an MCO for our project. Basically what we looked at, what we did look at is soft tissue injuries, so like sprained knees, sprained ankle, contusions, things like that, 13 months out of the date of injury, outside from the date of injury. Check the activity, if they were still getting some sort of prescription, mainly narcotics, we're working with the TPA and the Bureau to get those cut off and stopped. Saved a considerable amount of money. Now the Bureau is mandating that MCOs actually do this. So we'd like to think we were a step ahead of the ballgame and actually giving the Bureau some ideas on what an MCO should be doing. Like Kelly mentioned, we have a Toledo office up here. You guys will have a nurse case manager assigned out of our Toledo office. You have a CE assigned out of our office. A couple people are actually from Sylvania, so if you guys needed some on-site help, I could arrange that. Any questions?
Where in Toledo is the office?
Executive Parkway, 13-3-1-3, Executive Parkway.
I have a question. Kelly talked about the fact that you're local, and you did too, and there was an implication from the other folks that were here that your ownership corporate ownership is somewhere far, far away, unspecified, but I mean, where's the corporate headquarters for your parent?
Comprehension is actually owned by Sedgwick, which is the nation's largest TPA. They're headquartered in Memphis.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't want to break in here, but I would encourage you, if you're interested, to take a look at HMS website. And I'm really not here to trash HMS. They are a good company. I just think Comprehension Health Systems is better.
Okay.
And I know that they make a lot of the fact that this is their corporate office here in Toledo, but I would ask you how many employees they have there. I think we are comparable in size, our Toledo office and their corporate office here in Toledo. If you take a look at their website, they have two offices. One is the corporate office here in Toledo. The other is what they call a business office in Columbus. If you look to see where requests for treatments are sent, where fee bills are sent, even the website, it says if you have questions, they're all directed to the business office in Columbus.
Which is not far from our Dublin office.
Correct.
It sounds to me like you've answered that question before.
Yeah, is, you know, the way I look at, when Sedgwick bought us back in 2006 or so, you know, it was kind of nerve-wracking, you know, I'll admit it, but it's been a very good fit. They didn't know Ohio, we know Ohio. We've been here, we grew up here. There's, in my opinion, there's nothing that says we're an out-of-state company trying to come into Ohio.
Are you a larger company than the other group?
HMS?
Yeah.
Yeah, MCO to MCO, yes.
Is there a benefit for me to being larger?
Yeah, I think we have more resources.
I talked about that.
Resources such as our full-time medical director. We take the, you know, I explained that earlier. He's on site 24, well, he could be 24/7. But that's a full-time paycheck that he earns. We take that extra cost.
He's not working for anybody else, do you?
Nope. It's kind of funny. He started consulting for the Bureau. Started consulting for us, kept coming more and more after about 7 years of consulting for us, that we hired him full time, so 7-year probationary period. Another thing we do in size and efficiency is our utilization review. We're very particular about that. We like the supporting documentation, so when a treatment request comes in, it goes through a pretty standard. None of our nurses are allowed to deny any treatment request. That goes to a panel of physicians. Dr. Kessler, you know, divvies it up, makes sure it's appropriate. Request was with the appropriate field or medical practice. That's a cost that you employers do not take on. That's something we do as an added benefit. If you go further up the level, corporate level, Sedgwick, they've been in, they're in every state and Canada, Puerto Rico. Tons of resources there, things that we can pull on, health and wellness. Our national company is looking at that pretty extensively. Medicare, Medicaid, set-aside, that kind of stuff. All that stuff gets filtered down to us. Plus, we're stable. We're not going anywhere. Yeah, the clinical editing system, I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. You know, talking about resources, it's something we dumped a lot of money into to get those additional costs for you. You know, we still want to provide quality care without, you know, taking away from anything away from the injured worker. But on the other hand, you guys need the best cost-effective payment method. Our utilization or our clinical editing program, it's on the same level as MedMutual of United Healthcare. It's McKesson, I believe. So.
We have about 5 minutes or so. I wonder if members of council have some additional questions for you. It would appear not.
I want to make sure that I don't ask the wrong question.
All right.
Some of those have been answered. one reason, just one, that you can get the employee returned back to work quicker than most other companies.
I think it's we get to know, well, we're in this area, so all of our
most important reason or kind of a combination of reasons. One, we're in this area, we know the providers, we know the good, how to work with the providers. We get to know each of our employers on-site meetings, we get to know their programs. When we make our frequent contact with the employer, the provider, the injured worker, we're setting those expectations. I mean, you guys already have the expectations, but we're also setting those expectations for the injured worker and the provider to cost-effectively return the injured worker.
So you were our provider before HMS, right? Is that what happened?
What's that?
You were the provider before HMS, and then it was HMS, and now we're tossing it up again. Why do you think you lost it? Why did we go with this other company last time?
Why, George? If I was in your shoes, I would have never left. I can't answer that. In my opinion, that's an internal situation with you guys. All MCOs, no matter for the next 2 years, if you choose us or if you remain with HMS, our money that we get paid is going to be exactly the same.
Is there a benefit? You also provide other services for us, right? Sure. Remind us what that is. They're the third party administrator.
All right. They do a lot of things. They have hearings, they supply people to go to those. They are the ones that get us in our group every year. We've been in this group for like 15 years. It's been a good game, but we get good prices. And just normal consulting. We basically, when I have a question, I just call Kelly.
Yeah. Okay. So my question is to these guys: is there a benefit for us to integrate services further, and use you more, or should we be concerned about a downside about using you for an MCO? Is there a conflict?
I'll give you a good example. This happened over in our Cleveland office, I believe. A situation arose where a guy bent down, came back, the claim was filed, he had fractured vertebrae, right, just from bending over. We'll come to find out, the Bureau did allow the claim for the fractures. Kelly's counterpart out at Cleveland office came to Dr. Kessler and said, what the heck's going on with this? Well, come to find out, this gentleman had cancer. And if it was not for the cancer, he wouldn't have the fractures. So ultimately, is what happened is that level of communication back and forth, being able to approach our medical director, got the claim ultimately just, I think it was dismissed. I don't think it was denied. But there's one.
Okay, so. Okay.
There's a firewall between the MCO and TPA that the Bureau puts forth. That's there for a reason. Sound medical decision reasoning, basically. Nothing else. And that's the only firewall that does exist.
Okay. Can I interject one thing? Their office is right by my office. If there's an issue, I can walk down the hall and ask them a question. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa. If there's an issue for the PAs, I can walk down there.
Okay. Officially, time's up. Are we, any other questions before we're done? Stan, are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
We mentioned to the previous group that we're well aware of the fact that we're coming up on a deadline here in the next 48 hours. So we will get back to you quickly.
Thank you. Appreciate the time again.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Looks like I got four.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's have the committee stick around in case we have any questions for George. Huh? I think the way I would prefer to have us do this is this will it's not a legislative issue. I think what the staff is looking for is some advisory input from members of council, which would be us representing council. I think I'd prefer to handle that in the next, between now and tomorrow morning. Have any thoughts that we may have about this decision be directed to George? You're going to be standing by George this evening, right?
Well, actually, we'll make our decision on Friday.
Ah.
So anytime tomorrow, you'd like to get in touch with me, that's fine. And we'll get specifically around staff any tomorrow. But any comments you have?
Do you have any final thoughts for us?
No. Both groups, as I said, are good groups. And they, you know, being in the top five or six, that certainly puts them, you know, as being well representing people. But we'll be kicking around some thoughts tomorrow.
So, yeah, this certainly made it sound like they were going to save us money. Do you think that's true?
Well, they've done real well. You know, sometimes, like they said, it does depend on what kind of claim it is, I guess. But they do a nice job on doing these handicap reimbursements. When somebody gets hurt and, you know, you get a claim and it's, say, $10,000, there's about 25 disabilities that you can have, handicaps that you can have, that they take percentages off, as much as 50%. And so if you have a nice group that gets in there and looks at that helps. That's where Cop Management Incorporated, but, you know, the MCOs, the important thing that they do, I think, are they move the claims along. They help out when we have a problem with a physician. Again, when we have a person that wants to get back to work, we just had a gentleman that crushed his ankle at the compost field, and it was pretty serious, and long story short, he was off for quite a while, but, you know, we then were set up with a Volk rehab person, and they go in, they got a shoe that fit him, that helped out, because he's had problems with that. On the tractor, we got a larger step, so that nobody was going to be falling off it again. So they just kind of come through and help. Those are the kind of things they do.
And that's Cop Management?
Both of them.
Both of them.
But,
George, is it accurate to maybe answer what Katie's looking for? Because they both gave reports that performance-wise, Cop Management was superior.
Well, yeah. Their numbers were better in their analysis. And, you know, we had Cop Management for quite a while. We wouldn't have these people for 2 years, so it really is not necessarily a fair comparison exactly going on some numbers. But
can we ask you why you changed?
I don't know. It just seems a thing to do at the time.
Okay. Any other thoughts, questions? It's Scott, any questions from you?
No.
Okay, it's 10 after 5, and we're adjourned. Thank you.